Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 194th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is an every other week half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. My guests today are Tae Chong from the TEAM program, which stands for the Emerging Entrepreneurs of Maine, run through Catholic Charities. And he's also a former guest of this show from the 97th edition, if you want to listen back to his personal story and upbringing in South Korea. He brings with him Amanda Fisher, who runs Threads of Hope for CC Maine. Thank you for joining me for New Mainers Speak today.
Hey, Kate.
Hi. Thank you.
So nice to see you both here. Tae, let's start with the new program. What can you tell listeners about TEAM and who's it designed for? How's it work?
So TEAM, the Entrepreneurs of Maine, is a program that we created at Catholic Charities because we wanted to solve a couple big problems. The biggest problem that we saw was that people in poverty had difficulty getting access to commercial retail space because commercial rent in Portland has just skyrocketed. It's gone up 100% in 15 years. The second piece is that a lot of entrepreneurs, when they want to find a space, they don't have the wraparound services that they need to survive. Most businesses fail within the first couple of years because they just didn't have the right proper
support,
right? So it's not just the business plan or business class you take. It's also the individual attention that you might need, whether it's customer service or display or basic banking and financial stuff that you might need as your business goes forward. But the other real big problem we wanted to solve was that there aren't many immigrant entrepreneurs, especially immigrant women entrepreneurs in Portland. And so we wanted to create a program for them specifically. And we created three kiosks within our thrift store on St. John Street at 244 St. John Street. And we created three places where people have the opportunity to sell products that works for the community but doesn't compete with what's at the store. So we have two women who have rented spaces there. Nana Butumenge and Zara Apugar. And Nana sells clothes there that is targeted to middle-aged African women. There's this movement called queening. I know nothing about fashion, and I know nothing about queening, but apparently it's like glamming. And so it's when people want to glam in traditional African clothes. And what's great about Nana is that she's such an entrepreneur and forward thinker. She's thinking about how to make Central African clothes also adjustable to our climate. So she's trying to come up with
fleece head wraps.
Yeah.
Nice.
Vests and parkas and, things like that. So,
I love that. I haven't heard about that. I was just thinking about how hard it is.
Well, you should come down to the store and check it out. So she sells those things, but she also sells products for middle-aged. I want to be careful about age. For women, particularly for ethnic makeup and products. And then Zara is a phenomenal designer who's a college student, and she's selling products for millennials and for Muslim women. So she doesn't compete with Nana, and she doesn't compete with the store. So everyone has a niche. And what we're trying to do is have a lot of these niche markets so that we can create kind of an ecosystem where they feed off each other and help each other out. And hopefully we can create a movement within the immigrant refugee entrepreneurial space.
I think that's brilliant to have a store within a store. You have the space and you make a little bit of room there.
Right, absolutely.
How do you set these booths aside?
Well, Catholic Charities was, basically it's a social service enterprise, and what we're trying to do is make sure that we create space to tackle poverty. And we wanted to give someone a fighting chance in starting a business. And so we wanted to create a space where we give them a maximum amount of retail space, but also we're a nonprofit, so we need to pay our bills as well. And so we have an amazing amount of support from the community, from individual donors and grants, from organizations like Seaport Credit Union and MTI, Maine Technology Institute. They actually helped us to buy new kiosk furniture. And displays. And then we also are partnering with Orson Horsler, who's a local artist and contractor who works with immigrants and refugees to design assigned for us. And we wanted that space to be, you know, it's compact but affordable. And the startup cost for that place would be like, say, $3,000 or $5,000 or less for someone who wanted to start a business. And so that's what we had in mind as far as like designing a space that works for them.
And this space within a space is called Ficaria.
Correct.
And tell us what that means.
So Ficaria means imagine in Swahili. And we chose that word because it's ubiquitous. It sounds Italian. It sounds Japanese. It sounds like it's a made up word, but you know, in Swahili, it means imagine. It's a great fit for that place. So we wanted new entrepreneurs, particularly new startup entrepreneurs from people in poverty and women in particular, to imagine a better life for themselves and a better opportunity. And that name just fits beautifully with that space.
I love it. And so, Amanda, here you are. How did you get involved with Ficaria, the store within a store?
I'm more involved in the kind of day-to-day processes and things like that. So I get to specifically talk with the women and tell Nana and Zara, like, work with them on ways to help them sell their product. And because it's very different if you, it's one thing to have product and make something, but then going out, turning around and trying to sell that and getting your name out there individually on your own every day. So I help them with a lot of the processes, setting up, you know, typical stuff like tagging or, you know, setting items in the cases, making it look nice, making it appealing to people when they come in. And just giving them that kind of day-to-day business support. And then also, too, they don't necessarily have to be there all the time. We work with them where our employees help to sell their product when they're not there because they do have so many other responsibilities. You know, Nana has 6 kids. Zara's going to school. She's got a job. They're both have so much going on, so we're there to offer that day-to-day support.
In prepping for this show, I had not met these women, so I swung by the store just to check it out, get a feel for it. It's easier to ask questions when you've seen it. And Nana was there. And we had a wonderful visit, and I could see that she had even school bag backpacks, mm-hmm. kind of things that have the African prints. And she said she designs the material, designs the clothes or whatever, and then she has somebody create them and then ship them back to her. And sells them here in Portland.
That's correct. Yeah, yeah. She's very imaginative, and unfortunately, you know, like Amanda said, both Zara and Nana couldn't make it because you know they have to work even on the weekends, and so that's why we created this. You know, and Amanda's really being very humble in that the things that she does for them at the store goes well above and beyond just customer service and display. It's also trying to figure out what kind of racks we can buy, what kind of marketing, advertising we can also do for them. She was responsible for creating some of the signs, you know. And so that's what we wanted. We wanted people who are working 2 or 3 part-time jobs that have a business sense or a business drive, a place where they can do that work and also provide them the services so that they can succeed and you know, they may not make a lot of money, but it might replace one of their part-time jobs. And if it's a passion project for them where they're making just as much, that adds so much to their lives and confidence that they can sense as well as their kids can sense. So, I mean, Nana has 6 kids, and if she's happier about who she is because she loves to design and she loves to sell and she loves to interact with people, that's an amazing boost of confidence for her, and it has a rippling effect on her family. And we're doing everything we can at Catholic Charities to make sure that she has a fighting chance to survive. And we hope more people come and visit the store. But we offer not just technical assistance, but, you know, like Amanda said, that a mom that's working 2 or 3 part-time jobs has an opportunity to make money because our clerks can sell their products on commission. And so one of the things that Amanda didn't talk about is all the copious amounts of inventory that she has to do for them and make sure that they're, you know, properly placed in our POS system or point of sale system. So that's the kind of stuff that we need to do, because there's a huge divide in the entrepreneurial space in Portland, especially if you wanted to start a retail store or a grocery store, the amount of capital you need is close to six figures. And so, you know, what place do we have for people like that? You really don't.
Sounds like St. John Street's your best
place. St. John Street's the best place. I mean, that's a good place to start. We like to see it grow to maybe 8 or 10 kiosks, mini businesses. And then you've got a destination shop. That's what we'd love to see happen. Mm-hmm. But because we're a nonprofit, we would love to see more people support us. But, you know, the first thing is make sure that these two businesses succeed. And I hope that people can see all the wonderful products that they sell there.
The model reminds me a little bit of a lot of the antique stores in Maine, where you go in and people have their own booth and they have their own product. And when they check out, that gets attributed to the individual's booth. And the same thing's happening here. So hypothetically, Ficaria could sell something. Some of the profits from that go to feeding people in Aroostook. Is that accurate?
So for Catholic Charities, for the thrift stores, the way it's split up, actually only our northern stores fund the food banks in Aroostook County, which is an awesome program that they have. A lot of the funds from the Portland store go specifically to more programs in Portland. So it's going to like Refugee and Immigrant Services. It's going to Support and Recovery. Those are, you know, we have like the St. Elizabeth's Child Center. So more of the funds that we're getting in Portland, part of that is going specifically to more of our programs in this area.
Shop locally, act locally.
Yeah, exactly.
That's lovely that you can figure out a way to do that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And what's great about Threads of Hope and Catholic Charities is that 3/4 of our funding comes from grants. And so if we can be more entrepreneurial, you know, as more and more people come through Threads of Hope to support these businesses, but also to support Threads of Hope. For every 7 people that come in, we get a new customer. And so if we become less dependent on grants, that helps us to sustain the 27 programs that we have throughout the state of Maine. And we help, if you can think of it, almost every indigent population you can think of, from people who have visually impaired to the deaf to dental clinics to childcare to adult services. To refugee immigrant services, placing people in homes, to finding jobs, and also, you know, the food banks that we have in Aroostook County. And if our thrift stores are thriving, then we can help more people. And in this day and age, as we all know what's happening in the federal and state governments, funding is being cut back. And so we need to be more entrepreneurial, and we need to figure out how we can raise more money so that we can support the very, very the most vulnerable population in the state.
Making Maine a little bit more the way life should be.
Exactly.
Amanda, I know this is kind of putting you on the spot. Can you tell us a few of your favorite gems that you've come across in the Threads of Hope stores? First of all, how many Threads of Hope stores are there throughout the state?
Right now, I believe there's 6. The northern stores are a little bit trickier to pin down. One of them just moved. They have 2 kind of bulk models where it's a lot different. They sell things by the cart up there. So they're only open. It's pretty cool. They're open specific days of the month. In the south, we have our Sanford and our Portland store. So
what could people find? They go into these resale stores. Who's bringing the goods in, and what kind of treasures are you finding?
Well, what's cool is we have, like, we're able to have something for, you know, people of all walks of life. So, like, we have, you know, really affordable clothing. Like, one of the major parts of the missions of the thrift store is that we want our clothing to be affordable to people that really need it. So, on that end, if you just need a shirt or something, you can come in and get a t-shirt for $2. We have a bunch of sales. So if we have product that's been there too long, on Sundays, we do like a dollar Sunday. So, our color that's been there for a really long time goes down to $1. So if you just need something, you can come and find something. If you just need furniture, we have furniture that's available to you. We have voucher programs that can help you get that furniture. Say you just moved here and you have nothing. We have so many different, we have people, you know, their homes have unfortunately burned down and they've lost everything, and we're able to help them get that. But then on the other hand too, we've gotten so many different designer things that just come in randomly from our awesome donors. Sometimes we'll get items that I'm like, I can't believe somebody just donated this. Like, we got one of the coolest things we've ever gotten donated, which we kept, is our jukebox. We have a CD jukebox, which we kept for the store because it's something that adds a little joy in people's life that might not get to see that all the time. It's set on a free setting, so you can come in, you know, look through the catalog and pick what you want. Kids can check it out. It's got music from the 40s to today, so it's everybody. Like, everybody goes on shuffle, makes somebody happy.
That's really cool. Makes you want to go shop there just for the experience. If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You are listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guests today are Tay Chong and Amanda Fisher. They are connected through a new program through Catholic Charities called TEAM. It stands for the Emerging Entrepreneurs of Maine. Maybe you don't think of Catholic Charities as being entrepreneurial, but it is, and Tay Chong is there making that happen. They are both supporting a shop within a shop at 244 St. John Street. The big shop is called Threads of Hope, and the small shops inside are called Fikiria, and that means imagine in Swahili. So to build on what you were just saying with clothing, I have talked to immigrants from Central Africa who say, you know, when you're poor there, you're poor. You can't even get access to another change of clothes. But he said, you know, as poor as you get here, there's still food, there's still clothes. And I think that's part of the service you're offering there. Earlier, you mentioned something about boxes, starter kits. Could you say something else about that for homeless and indigent people?
Yeah, so with that, Tay might know a little bit more about that than I do. That doesn't necessarily, the boxes don't run out of the thrift store.
Oh, I misunderstood that.
No worries. But we do have our voucher program, which runs more specifically out of the thrift store through Parasocial Ministries. So people can go ahead, and if they need something, they can contact them. I know.
Who do they contact?
It's Parasocial Ministries.
Parasocial?
Parish.
Parish,
yeah.
Social,
yeah,
ministries.
Parish,
okay.
Social Ministries, okay. Which is really just if you call the Catholic Charities main office, they can direct you to Parish Social Ministries.
And those people will give you vouchers. You take them into the store and get a couch for your apartment.
Yeah, they can talk to you and kind of figure out, you know, what they can do. Sometimes it's right out of the store. Sometimes they have funding that's available from different grants or things to different stores. Yeah, so there's usually something that we can do, and if not, we know where to direct people that need help.
If I were to know someone, I happen to know a few immigrants, and they were interested in starting a business, how would I happen to hook them up with TEAM? How do people find your
Well, they would just call me.
Process?
Yeah, they can call me on at 80 Sherman Street. My phone number is 632-9719. Or they can email me at tchong, T-C-H-O-N-G, at C-C-M, Maine, M-A-I-N-E.org, and we'd be happy to talk to them. And it's not just immigrants. You know, our goal is, you know, Amanda and I talk about it all the time. We would love to do upcycle. So what upcycle means is recycling the products that we have and turn them into a new product. And we would love to have, you know, our dream would be to have, like, an alteration shop within the store, so someone could come in and buy a dress that if it doesn't fit them, they can go to our alteration shop within the store and get it hemmed on site. You know, it would be lovely to have someone do a cobbler business down the road. And we know lots of immigrants and refugees and millennials who have that arts and crafts skill. So if they wanted to come and talk to us doing something like that, that'd be great. Another thing would be to take the materials that they have and turn it into a new product, whether it's, you know, Amanda has a friend that takes woolen blankets and turn them into jackets. And
yeah, he'll make, you know, jackets, scarves, he dyes fabrics, he'll come in and he'll find any kind of fabric and turn it into something, leathers, all kinds of things.
That's a great idea. You have a lot of raw materials
there. Yeah.
So if like four people wanted to share a kiosk, that'd be, you know, that could make it very affordable. So, you know, the idea I always get and I'm reminded is, you know, the first Fridays in Portland are just amazing. There's so many people selling wares, but it's once a month or maybe during the cruise ship. Why not have a kiosk? And if four of them went in on it together, that you have a diversity of products and then you could sell something. You know, and the more people we can draw from various backgrounds, the better chance that store has and that, that kiosk space has of succeeding. And, you know, we want to recycle. I mean, that's just a smart thing to do. That's the environmental social justice thing to do.
Yeah, really. It meets needs across the board.
Absolutely.
You all have some big dreams. I love the upcycling idea, the in-house alterations. What do you think your capacity might be? How many Ficaria booths might you have inside that store?
I think we can have up to 8 or 10 booths. Right now we have 3. And so square footage wise, that's almost close to 1,500 square feet. If it's so that's a pretty significant store. And if we could create interesting products where they don't compete with one another and they are valuable to the community, I think people will come in.
I think one thing worth mentioning is something you said earlier. You mentioned how mission-based your organization is as Catholic Charities and Threads of Hope specifically. Can you speak to that a little bit more completely and say how it is that you're able to invite in so many volunteers and who all makes this whole, who drives this whole big bus? Because the services, how many services did you say CCMA offers?
We have 27 programs and we have over 600 employees and it's a $27 million organization. I think officially it's 21. Sometimes it goes to 30, but it changes.
That's a really big program.
It's huge.
And so where do you get these people and why do people do it? Why do people come and volunteer folding things at Threads of Hope?
Well, Threads Hope, we're lucky. We get a lot of different kinds of volunteers. We probably have about 10 employees, you know, and a lot of those employees have been with us for a while. And, you know, they're there for the message. They're there because it makes them feel good to be there. And then, you know, as far as volunteers, we get, you know, we have some volunteers who've been with us for, there's one woman who's been there at least since the store's been open. Like, she's been there longer than I have. You know, and then we have some people who are new to this country and, you know, they come in because they want to, you know, work on their English. They want to have like a social hour. A lot of mothers will come in. It's kind of their time to go interact with other people.
And what kind of jobs might they do for you?
We have a lot of, a lot of the volunteer work is like organizing and sorting, cleaning. You know, we get so much product. Definitely not all of it is in the condition you'd want to sell it in when we get it in. So it's kind of going through and figuring out what are we going to keep? What are we going to recycle? You know, a lot of it's everyone sitting around a bin together, really, for the raw product. So it's a cool opportunity where we get to sit around this big box and we all talk. And, you know, I love the days when I get to break away and I can go do that with everyone and kind of interact and learn about new people. And, you know, some people we've had forever. Some people, we have a new person every couple weeks. So
I was impressed earlier when you explained that in order to work with one volunteer, you had to get out your Google Translator.
Yeah, I use my Google Translate quite a bit, actually.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool. I also, you know, I never thought that French was going to come in very handy for me. And I've been practicing so much French. I'm getting really good. And it's an awesome thing that people are excited that I'll try. You know, I know that I don't sound great all the time.
Well, they're being brave all the time
with their
English skills. And so they really appreciate somebody being brave with their French skills or Aramaic skills, as it turns out.
Yeah. I learned a lot about Aramaic through Google Translate recently. And
And people can volunteer at the front end and back end. Mm-hmm. So we have generous donors that donate wonderful products to the store, as well as people who volunteer through financial giving. So that makes everything happen. And the reason why we're so mission-based is basically it's the value of social justice. We don't proselytize. Our goal is to make sure that people in need get what they can get to live a life of dignity if possible. And so, you know, we work in all aspects from healthcare to mental health care, to child care, to workforce development, and then, you know, obviously the entrepreneurial space. And I think the people who work there have that same mission, is how can we give people basic dignity? And that's why I think the volunteers keep coming back, because they're respected and they feel valued and they have a sense of purpose.
That is very clearly stated. You all are creating something new that could potentially benefit so many people. You recycle, reuse, reduce waste, and possibly in the future even upcycle. So I wish you the very best of luck with your prototype, with team, and the manifestation of your dreams to upcycle and reach people and offer dignity to people of all socioeconomic backgrounds in this state.
Thank you so much. Thank you for this opportunity and this time.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
I am Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song that Nana has selected for us. Tay, can you introduce her choice for us?
Sure. It's called Big Dream by...
Dream Big.
Dream Big, I'm sorry, by Ryan Shapey. I believe it's called Shapey or Shoopy. But it just kind of embodies her. She's just a really positive person, as is Zara and a lot of entrepreneurs. And it's about making your dreams come true by always thinking and moving forward.
When you cry, be sure to dry your eyes, 'cause better days are sure to come. And when you smile, be sure to smile wide, and don't let them know that they have won. And when you walk, walk with pride, don't show the hurt inside, because the pain will soon be gone. When you dream, dream big, as big as the ocean blue. 'Cause when you dream, it might come true. But when you dream, dream big. And when you laugh, be sure to laugh out loud, 'cause it will carry all your cares away. When you see the beauty all around and in yourself, and it will help you feel okay. And when you pray and pray for strength, it's to help you carry on, and when the troubles come your way. And when you dream, dream big, as big as the ocean blue. When you dream, it might come true. When you dream, dream big. When you laugh, be sure to laugh out loud, 'cause it will carry all your cares away. And when you see the beauty all around and in yourself, and it will help you feel okay. And when you pray, pray for strength, to help you carry on, and when the troubles come your way. When you dream.